we go.
Mo, what's up with this new Bavarian law thing about not selling alcohol after 9 o'clock? It's kind of like blasphemy right now, right?
You kind of, how's the saying? You kind of got me red-handed. I don't,
Oh, I caught you red-handed.
Do you say so? I don't,
I mean, it would be more like if they said they don't sell alcohol after 9, and then you were buying it, and then the police were like, I caught you red-handed.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like with blood on the hands. I nearly get it, but I meant because we have recently texted about it.
Right.
Because we wanted to get some beer for this recording.
Right.
For all our listeners out there, this is the first time in a long time that we are recording kind of later at night.
You know what? I think this is the first evening recording that we've done like this since we started doing this show weekly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when Corona first started and we went to the mountains and you were, I think also in the mountains.
Yes, sir.
And then we just Skyped and we just said, hey, let's just do this every week. We have the time. Let's just do it. I think that was the first time we had like an evening program. Like, I think it was the Jumbo episode, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
It was the Jumbo. Yeah, we had drinks and we just talked forever and it was really fun. And it's the first time since then. It's been months. So it's overdue, in my opinion.
Crazy. But to get back to that law.
Yeah. In Bavaria now, I don't know since when, but like starting at 9 p.m., they don't allow any sale of alcohol at all in any establishment. So no gas stations, no bakeries that have it, no nothing, nowhere. I guess it's to prevent Corona parties probably.
Yeah, right? That's the idea. But why we had a little discussion is that because they brought up this new law, and it should to be started on Friday, but today I get a push message from from Süddeutsche Zeitung.
You get like a notification from
notification,
them. Yeah,
notification. Süddeutsche Zeitung, big German newspaper.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, this new law has issues and doesn't match our constitution.
Oh, so Süddeutsche Zeitung is saying that the law is kind of like it's wrong.
They turn it down basically again.
Wait, but so the state passed this law saying that, so Bavaria said we're not going to sell alcohol after 9, and the newspaper was like, this is bad.
No. They just brought the story.
But oh, okay. I was like, they have an opinion piece?
No. There were people going on court for that case because they said it is illegal to do that deep of a kind of prohibition.
Uh-huh.
And so it got to court and they decided it's kind of illegal. And
is it illegal? Really?
Kind of. I do not know how to translate.
I mean, the only thing that I can imagine is that it's not the best idea because of like how much the economy slowed down in general because of Corona the last few months. And I mean, alcohol sales in Bavaria are a pretty strong, consistent component of that economy.
Of course.
You know, it's like the bread and butter. I mean, literally, bread and butter also, but it's like the metaphorical bread and butter of the economy here. So to say like, okay, after 9 o'clock, there's no more alcohol. I mean, imagine this, you know, like in Munich, near Fraunhofer-Straße, there's this, right over the river, there's this kiosk. It's like this famous kiosk. Like everybody uses it. Everybody goes there. It's weird to imagine like at 9 o'clock, this kiosk is like only soda.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to kill that little shop. I mean, it's just one little, you know, like 4 foot by 8 foot stand.
And there's a humongous line
every
time you pass
by.
Yeah,
consistently, especially in the summertime.
And I think part of this, what the judge said is that it is okay to kind of prohibit the serving of alcohol, the consuming of alcohol, on certain hotspots, like you mentioned, this one kiosk at the bridge where you know there in the summer there are a lot of people hanging out in the evenings,
right? Having like
you want to prevent those kind of events,
right?
And as far as I got it, so that's allowed to do that, to prohibit this kiosk from selling alcohol after 9.
Okay,
but it is not. And in German, it says nicht verhältnismäßig, so it it doesn't. It's a far too big step into your human rights, etc. Basically,
to just
prohibit it on the whole yeah. city.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, I mean it makes sense. I think it's kind of a dumb idea to. I mean, how good can that honestly work? You know, do you have a pen, by the way?
A pen, yeah. For sure, buddy.
But I'm wondering how good that can work in general as a.
Are you getting the fancy
as
one?
As a preventative,
the ergonomic, you know, one.
This is a nice pen. No, it's not. This is a totally normal pen, right? It's Faber-Castell.
But you know, in your school, the kind of what do you call it, middle school kids or elementary school kids have this kind of Bleistift,
mm-hmm.
and it's the exact same shape. That's a gag.
Oh, okay. I guess that's something I wouldn't get. Look at this. The top of this looks a bit like the Spotify logo, doesn't it? A little bit.
Yes.
It has like the little curved lines.
That is kind of.
No, I just want to. I wanted to write that down, so I didn't forget that later for the description. And I'm a little bit frazzled, honestly. Not any more than usual, I guess. But the reason I thought about this beer law was because I met up with a friend tonight who told me about it, and then I noticed it at the main station when I transferred from the cinema that I went to, because I want to talk about the fact that actually for the first time in a really, really long time, I went to the cinema, and that was already kind of an experience on its own. But just to finish that beer part, like we finished the cinema and then I was leaving to come here. And then I went to this bakery. Thank you. Went to this bakery to actually get like a road beer. See if this works. Hello, hello, hello. Ah, yeah, nice. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I've got you really nice in this year. I went there to get a road beer, and then, the guy in front of me had a beer in his hand and went to the register, and they were like, no more beer. No. They were like, new rule, 9 o'clock. And I was like, shit. But I went to the cinema today for the first time since March. Or February.
Okay, let's talk about the obvious part first.
Yeah.
How was it? Not regarding the film you were watching, but going back to cinemas actually.
You know what's funny is the first 10 minutes that I was there, it was a bit strange. You know, walking into the building, I felt like kind of on edge, like they were going to check me for my mask, and I wore it at all times in the building. And I
wasn't even test, et cetera.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure if I had to wear my mask at all times, but I just did anyway. And then, when you buy your tickets online.
So no popcorn?
Oh, I got popcorn. Oh, man, I went all out.
You stuffed out your mask with popcorn.
Dude, I went and all ate it. Oh, out.
That's basically, I think that's a great technique. Stuff your mask, a fresh mask with popcorn.
Yeah.
And then just inhale it.
And just chew it. Chew it through the front until you get to the breathable part. It was really like weird to get in there. But then as soon as I was in line, I felt like, oh man, I'm back at the movies, and you get that salty popcorn smell.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're a salty popcorn guy, by the way. Sorry.
Oh, it's super American to have salty popcorn. I think sweet popcorn is weird. whenever I go to the movies with any German friends, normally I'm always like, you get your own popcorn and I'll get my salty popcorn. Because it's like the buttery salty popcorn. That's like the classic movie experience in America. But I got like a jumbo popcorn, which I didn't finish. I thought I would. I got like a little bag of M&Ms.
Why didn't you bring the rest here?
I forgot it.
Popcorn cast.
It would have been nice to bring that. They do it in kind of a cool way. They give you the bag and then they put this little like carton Looks like the boxes they used to hold the nachos, they've like cover the top, and it's so that no one's touching inside your bag in between your thing. I think they should have actually had that from the beginning anyway. Just had like a protection for the popcorn.
Yeah.
Because it's good that no one can sneeze onto it or like drops, you know, you can't spill it or whatever. But you know, after I got my snacks and we sat down in the seats, it was just like the old days again. It just felt great. We was there with a buddy, and we didn't have our masks on. No one had one once they sat down. And we just had our Coca-Colas and popcorn and just watched these bad commercials. And I was blown away at how many terrible commercials there were supporting things like Just For Munich. Just terrible commercials for like either strictly Bavarian or Munich-based things. It was like only local commercials. Like, where are the big, fun, like, you know, film commercials, you know? It was only like cheap.
Which cinema did you go to?
Matheza.
Okay.
Matheza. In the center of, it's like right there by the main station.
Yeah.
It's a good cinema. And the thing is, I went to go see the new Christopher Nolan movie, Tenet, and I knew that I needed to see that in a big cinema. So I was really glad that they had it there, and they had it in English. They had the original version, so... besides those really boring commercials, which lasted half an hour, by the way,
but only local commercials.
Only local commercials, or there was three movie previews, but they were only for like really bad German romantic comedies. And one of those like Jim Knopf films, like the children's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, very bad advertisements. I was really disappointed by that. Usually the previews are the best thing. I wanted to see the new Batman trailer because Robert Pattinson's the new Batman. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
Robert Pattinson's the new Batman. The teaser trailer's out.
Okay, I've got to see.
There's like a 1.5 minute long trailer, which is already more than enough. I don't need much more than
because
that.
Because I'm back on the hype train since we've watched Batman Begins again a few weeks ago.
I think we started that movie too late. Wasn't that the one where I passed out?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've seen it like 8 times. But same. What was the thing? We watched John Wick, right? That was the main event.
That was the main event, yeah.
Yeah, and then the epilogue After Show Party was Batman Begins. Yeah, but
decent After Show Party.
Dude, it's just like once I have alcohol and I'm like on a sofa with the screen going, I just pass out. It's just so, I get so sleepy.
You got to imagine Jordan has no TV in his living room, but a very cool beamer, which is directed to this huge, flat, wide wall. So you kind of always have the cinema feeling, which is awesome.
It's the best, dude. It's really the best. And the thing is...
And I wonder why
it's not more common?
Yeah, exactly. Why it's not more common, because...
I wonder too.
When I think about what people spend for TVs, I think you could easily, for the same amount of money, get a decent setup a beamer and a little Bluetooth surround system or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the best.
People spend over $1,000 for their TVs.
Which is ridiculous. The setup that I believe in the most is the one that we have, which was the best investment I've made in my whole life. Basically, we pitched our money together, bought a really good, top of the line, but reasonably priced projector for somewhere between like $600 and $700. We put our money together, it wasn't so bad, saved for like 2 months, got the one that we wanted. And then we installed it in the ceiling. You know, go to Amazon, buy a little, you know, ceiling hook. It's not that heavy. You just, you know, the only problem was that our ceiling is, you know, this old 70s building, you know, after the war and stuff. So it's just like super, super thick, cheap cement, extremely hard to drill through. But we finally got through, hung it up, and then boom, you just adjust the lens and there you go. It's on this big white wall. And that's the best thing. We did that, and then we had like a cheap Bluetooth setup for another month.
Yeah.
And then after that, we did our money again, and we bought like the I think it's Panasonic or Sony soundbar, and to put it down in the floor in front of us, and like tuck the cables into the corner so it's all nice and clean, and you've got like really great sound with a subwoofer in front of you, like you're at the cinema. And it's the best investment I ever made, man. When you watch a movie like Titanic or Lord of the Rings or John Wick or Spider-Man or something. I mean, I watched...
But one other thing, did you have to do anything specifically to the wall you're projecting on?
No, it's just white paint. It. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have like a crazy texture, like you have kind of like popcorn ceiling.
It wouldn't work.
It would, but it wouldn't be perfectly smooth, of course. Plus, you'd be better off putting it on here and like hanging the projector from there.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, you have a lot of texture. We had a relatively smooth wall. We just had like a few dents and some scratches on it, but you don't notice that.
Yeah.
You don't notice that at all. The funny thing is when a couple of bugs get into the window, and then, you know, they always flock to the light. So you see them like bouncing over the wall. It's almost like you see two bugs because you see them.
And their shadow.
And the shadow. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. But yeah, I love that, man. Whenever we watch like big epic movies on there, it's the best investment because especially since Corona, you're watching everything at home. You're renting all these movies. Like so many films went straight to Netflix or straight to iTunes. They didn't go to the cinema at all.
Yeah.
I think it was surprising that Tenet could wait even and go to the cinema because I don't think that it's still going to make that much money there. But
yeah, they could still reveal it on streaming platforms earlier than usual.
Exactly. I mean, Judd Apatow's last film, The King of Staten Island, which is great. It's not his best, but it's really good. It released pretty fast onto iTunes. So we watched that movie, I think, like last month. But yeah, so I saw Tenet, the new Christopher Nolan movie. So do you know anything about this movie or this guy? You know who Christopher Nolan is, right?
I basically know who Christopher Nolan is, and I know that there is this new movie, Tenet. I've only seen one poster, nothing else.
Okay. Oh, okay. Was it the poster where the John David Washington, the black guy, is like reversed, like on top, like this with the gun?
Yeah.
Okay, so Robert Pattinson is also in this movie.
And ooh!
I have to say, man, he's having a bit of a renaissance period.
Yeah?
You remember when Matthew McConaughey showed back up in True Detective and he changed everyone's perception of him as an actor and they called it the McConaissance?
Yeah.
You know, he did True Detective and then he did like Interstellar, mm-hmm. Magic Mike, and like really good acting. I guess Magic Mike's kind of iffy, whatever on that line, but Interstellar and True Detective are like masterpieces of acting.
For sure.
And before that, it was all these cheesy, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and, like, Failure to Launch and these bad, like, pretty bad movies.
Like, basically every successful German movie of the past 15 years.
Yeah. I think every successful German movie is, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days over and over and
or
over.
Or there are Nazis in it.
Or they, oh.
Those are the two things we can offer to you, international film industry.
Come to Germany and experience the amazing cinematic experience of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but in German, or the Nazi movie. That's exactly true, man. That's so true. It's like, I love to imagine the combination, like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Nazi edition. You know,
how to lose a war in... Oh, no.
How to lose a war in 10 days.
This is getting too bad. They're getting too bad.
Oh, my God. That's so good. Oh, man. But yeah, Tenet. So you know, for those listening who you know, you don't have to be... I think to see this movie, what do you call it when it's divisive? It's a very divisive film. Mm-hmm. It either puts you over that side or puts you on this side.
Yeah.
Because it's a film that, first off, you have to kind of already know Christopher Nolan and you have to know his movies and you have to like them. And for those people who don't know him by name, you know his movies. He's done...
Give us a few.
He did Memento. He did Inception. He did the Dark Knight trilogy, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. He's most famous for the Batman trilogy because he had such a specific, beautiful style for those movies. But when he writes things himself, like for exception, his one of his biggest achievements or whatever is Inception, which is pretty hard to follow.
Is it his book also?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and Tenet is as well, I think, or he co-wrote it. And, you know, it's Inception and Tenet both are very, very, very difficult to follow because it's very plot heavy, meaning it's a lot of like things happening there's a lot of math involved and like time and put like someone's over here, but someone's over there. And then you have to understand why they did it in the first place. And so, okay. So basically without spoiling anything for anybody who wants to see it, I would say if you are a Christopher Nolan fan, it is a big...
And you better are.
And you bet, yeah. It's definitely a big Hollywood, breathtaking, like, you know, wide-eyed, gasping kind of roller coaster. And it's a big, epic, you know, very exciting movie. It's really cool. Visually, it's something I think I haven't seen before. And, you know, that goes a long way saying this for me because I feel like I've watched everything. But this was really some visuals that I just hadn't seen before. And the only thing I would complain about, and I'd love for, you know, if you guys have seen Tenet or you know, if you plan to, you know, DM us on Instagram or send us an email, because I'd love to know your thoughts about it and to see if you feel the same way that I do. But I felt that this is one of those instances where the plot was so incredibly thick.
Okay. Yeah. And now I want to bring in a new kind of mini category / game.
Oh, okay.
Give us an artsy fartsy plot teaser in 90 seconds.
What do you mean? What is that?
You give me a little 90-second plot teaser without too much spoiling.
Of in this movie seconds. Or some or any
of this movie, obviously.
Oh, give you okay. So a 90-second breakdown of the story without spoiling too much.
Yeah, from your side. Gotcha. In 3, 2, 1, timer going.
Tenet is a film about the manipulation of time in order to save the world. So basically, the main character is put into a position of power that only he can be in, yet he doesn't know why he finds this out. But he's put into a position where he has to go through a series of strange, twisted... I have 1 minute, right? Okay. He's put into a strange, like, twisted series of obstacles in order to save the world. The thing is, it's a super convoluted, complicated plot of like time and the manipulation of time and like reversal of time and like the repetition of time. But in whole, it's really a very simple thing of like good guy saves world from bad guy. You know, it's an American movie. The bad guy is Russian. That's all straight. It's like James Bond, but it's very, very complicated. And I think that's it. I can save myself 20 seconds.
Anything else you want? I left to say.
Robert Pattinson was surprisingly good. You forget that he was the Twilight boy. And John David Washington is Denzel Washington's son, and his voice sounds like him. And he's a great actor. And the woman in it is like 9 feet tall, but she's still very pretty. And Kenneth Branagh is a great bad guy. There we go. That's your timer sound?
Yes, sir.
You can change that?
Yeah, of course you can.
That's your timer sound? So when you do it, like if you're doing like sit-ups for a minute or whatever, you're doing like an exercise for a minute or something, then as soon as you're done, it's like... I feel like I would just like... I don't know. I feel like that's the kind of thing you hear when you have a beer on the toilet.
What? In how many occasions do you have a beer on your toilet?
I'll never tell. Yeah, man. It's a crazy movie. It's really crazy.
Nice little teaser.
The thing is, I there's so many like incredible visual shots. And I know that that's like, I know some people who are, you know, 100% dedicated to the fact that if the story isn't good, then the movie in general is bad. And I understand that completely. And I think that for 99% of the time, they are 100% correct. Like 60% of the time, it works 100% of the time. Like I agree with them 99% of the time. And then there's that 1% of the time where I think, okay, the sound design, the fucking music and sound design in this movie will rattle your rib cage. Remember the first time that you heard Bane speak in Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
And you were like, whoa, 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 what is this? You felt it like rattle your pelvis?
Yeah.
The music and the sound effects in this movie are so well done. It's unbelievable. And the visual effects and the acting is so spot on. I would say it's a movie that I will definitely watch again because I would like to understand it, you know, while watching it. Because the thing is, I know that I'm going to be one of those guys who goes on YouTube and nerds out about, you know, why it's like this and what does that mean? And, oh, here's the Easter eggs. Like, I always do that when I like a movie. I've watched every video on YouTube about John Wick or Indiana Jones or something, you know. But basically with this, I know that I'm going to get into it, but I'm also kind of frustrated that it's too complicated. Like, I remember there was one point where I was, like, in the third act, I was sitting there with my friend, and I leaned over and I said, I'm just watching pretty people run around. Because I didn't know why they were doing anything.
But then the stamp James Bond is pretty fitting.
Yeah, right? It's just
and
pretty...
And it's a Russian guy.
It is. It's just...
Was a cat involved?
There was not a cat involved. But there is a little kid involved, which sounds similar. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's worth a watch, but if you can see it in the cinema, go do it. It's a great movie experience, but man, what a wild ride. Did you ever see this movie Primer? Mm-hmm. Primer got really successful, I would say, man, over 10 years ago now. It was this like really low budget indie film with a really cool and complicated plot about time travel. And if I tried to explain it now, I think I would just make it worse. And I don't remember everything about it anyway. But basically, you know, Primer was just a film with a very structured and complicated time travel plot that was very, like, low key. It was just, you know, a few people with a camera. And it was taking place in, like, real time with real people in, like, a small town. It wasn't some, like, futuristic, hard, you know, there's like this wall of disbelief or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was very believable. And then once you got into the complications, you were like, kind of, how was he there? But wasn't he dead? And why was there? And then you find out everything later. And there's whole like studies about this movie, how they like rotated characters back into the plot line to make something work. And I think the most interesting thing about movies that deal with time travel is how they try to get around certain paradoxes.
Yeah.
You know, because
the classics.
Yeah, the concept of time travel on its own is very paradoxical. I mean, do you know the grandfather paradox? You know that, have you ever heard of that before?
I guess so, but not under that
Do you want to guess name. You want to guess what it is by the name of it? Time travel grandfather paradox.
You become your own grandfather.
Now that would be a paradox.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a better paradox than what it actually is.
We should get on some subreddits and challenge some nerds with that.
Oh man, I would dive headfirst with you, my friend. The grandfather paradox is I hate that I don't know the name of the guy who invented it. Or who discovered, who theorized it. Maybe someone can send that in to me. Basically, it is the theory that if you were to go back in time and you would kill your grandfather.
You wouldn't exist, yeah.
So that your grandfather wouldn't have the chance to give birth to one of your parents, then you would never exist to go back into time in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting, but then I also wonder sometimes,
but I find it
why would you kill your grandfather?
And I find it pretty funny because it feels like for decades, screenwriters have fixed that issue by making people who may experience such complex just disappear.
Oh, like if it gets too complicated, the characters just disappear.
They just disappear, or sometimes they even dissolve within the picture or something.
Oh yeah, like in the future where the hand is fading.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay.
And yeah. I think about it like, okay, how has for decades that has been state of the art?
Yeah.
But I also gotta admit I am not a big movie guy, and I might as well not have seen many great time traveling movies who solved this issue in another creative way.
I'm trying to think of like the best time travel movies. I mean, I guess like the greatest of all time is probably the Back to the Future trilogy. You saw obviously, those though, right?
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are, You know Robert Zemeckis, the creator?
That's why I said you it could happen that you become your own grandfather.
Yeah, I mean, but he doesn't become his own grandfather. No, but no, he almost becomes his own dad.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Oh, that's super weird. You know, it's funny that isn't like.
And they use the same effect. They use the same effect within those little family photos all around the house.
Yeah, he starts like the kids start dissolving within the image. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny though that that's such a simple solution to like evaporate the person within the photo.
Yeah,
but it's funny that you think about, okay, the brother and the sister are arm in arm and the brother fades away. Mm-hmm. It's funny that they didn't just have a single child and take a different photo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they have her pose with her arm around no one.
Then we have the next complex.
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't you just have taken a better photo of your single child than her like holding around a ghost or something?
That's the meta complex, because it's the one for the screenwriters.
Mm. Man, that was. That's probably one of the greatest trilogies. You know, they've asked the creator, Robert Zemeckis, like thousands of times and offered him so much money to get the rights to remake it, to reboot it. And he said, no, he'll never do it until the day he dies. I don't know what happens when he dies. I don't know if the rights go back to the Sony or Universal, whoever owns it, whoever is next. But he said, as long as he's alive, he'll never give the rights up, because it's too perfect. It's too, it's untouchable.
Yeah,
you know.
And maybe he has the will like J.R.R. Tolkien. Do you know that? In his last will, he had written that that Lord of the Rings, or basically all of his novels, mm-hmm. are not to be televised by Disney.
And so in J.R.R. Tolkien's last will, he said Disney can't touch my books.
Yeah.
But don't they own the trilogy or the Hobbit?
Disney, or was it let me check that.
I mean, I'm sure that's okay. So what's funny though is like maybe he said Disney can never touch my stuff, so Universal gets the rights or something. Maybe there's like a loophole where Disney owns, I don't know. Disney owns everything these days, so maybe it's just some company bought the rights and then Disney bought that company, or maybe they were the sister company or the father company, or I don't know. It's complicated, man. It's such a complicated business. But yeah,
I'll just look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, you look it up. And in the meantime, I'm really happy that Robert Zemeckis said this, that he'll never sell the rights to he'll never give up the rights to Back to the Future, because I think it is so perfect. And I think they messed up so much when you look at the fourth installment of Indiana Jones, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I have, you know, I refuse to watch it. I won't even watch this movie, because I remember seeing the trailer and I remember seeing this, you know, like this bad, hyper futuristic, like CGI, and Harrison Ford was already, I don't know, almost 70 when they did it. And you see Shia LaBeouf, who wasn't cool yet. He wasn't really like a cool avant-garde actor yet. He was still like this nerdy dude. And I just don't want to see it. It's about aliens. I don't know. It's just, it's not Indiana Jones, you know? It's the perfect trilogy. Just don't touch it. Don't mess with it. I don't know. I think if you make something good, but this is the bigger argument in general, right? Like if you have a good movie or a good franchise, stop rebooting it. Stop bringing in new things of the same story.
But reality is that this is, I would guess, basically 50% of what comes to theaters within the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like reboots.
Yeah.
Like
reboots and like extending franchises.
Yeah. You know? Unnecessary sequels, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the whole Star Wars thing.
Star Wars lasts forever. I think they're never going to stop making Star Wars movies. And, you know, you look at, I mean, I didn't totally hate the whole like Marvel Avenger franchise thing. It just, you know, I think I saw like three of those movies. I saw I saw like a, I saw, you know, the Spider-Man ones. I think there's two of those. I saw the first Doctor Strange, which was the first hour was good. And that's about it. And then I saw Infinity War and Endgame. Yeah, go ahead.
I guess I watched basically everyone besides those weird sequels of Captain America and Thor, etc.
How many Captain America movies were there? Was there five? I didn't see a single one of them. I thought they were so boring.
I saw the first one when it came out. Doctor Strange, they brought it on Netflix, I guess, a year ago or something.
That's where
and
I saw it.
Netflix. And I tried to watch it for like two or three times.
Yeah.
And each time I started so late that I fall asleep and then I gave up on finishing it.
No, man. I mean, like, when I saw Infinity War, I was so blown away. I thought Infinity War was...
I haven't seen Endgame. Did I mention that?
The very, very last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen Infinity War.
Like you can probably guess what happens if you've heard of it by now. But basically, Infinity War, I saw it and I downloaded the movie. I watched it at home. I was home alone and I was just super into it. It was just really funny. It was very exciting. I hadn't seen any of this stuff before. They were clearly touching onto other movies that I hadn't seen. Like, you know, they always start these... Marvel movies like with the last scene of the other movie that you didn't watch or whatever. So I was already kind of thrown into it and I was like, what's going on? Who is this guy? And, you know, Infinity Stones. Okay. I don't get it, whatever. And then you get into it and
it's not so hard to get into, even if you didn't watch the movies.
No, before. It's not hard to
because
get into it.
Infinity War was great. It was really good. I felt the same when I saw it in cinema, but, it's still easy storytelling, so it's
straightforward and pretty evil, you know,
predictable plots.
Yeah. It's always hyper dramatized.
Get into it more or less at any point. You might miss a few more Easter eggs or whatever.
Yeah,
but you could get into it at any movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take too long to get adjusted to it and. I really thought it was funny and it was exciting. You know, I got really into the characters and, you know, speaking of Avengers, Chadwick Boseman died, you know, Black Panther, 38, right? Super young. That sucks, man. He was battling colon cancer. Is that right? I think it was colon cancer.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. That's a real shame. He was very like inspirational and he was doing some cool things. Personally, though, I only knew him as Black Panther. I didn't see the new Spike Lee movie, the Five Bloods. I didn't watch. I have literally never seen him in anything else, but that's on me. I just never I didn't follow him as an actor.
Yeah.
I just knew him as the Black Panther guy. But did you know that Denzel Washington basically funded the whole beginning of his career?
No.
I think Chadwick tried to get into a prestigious acting school, but they turned him down. But Denzel had seen him do an audition or saw him in a play or a movie or something, and then gave him a shot and basically funded his whole, either got him into that school or funded him into a different one.
Yeah.
And basically gave him a career. There's this really touching speech he gives at, I don't know if it's at Denzel's Lifetime Achievement Award or if it's at some, you know, one of these award programs. He gives a nice long speech to Denzel, which is really sweet. I like Denzel. I think he's a cool guy.
For sure.
Did you watch these Equalizer movies? Basically no. Denzel's John Wick?
Nope.
No, I didn't either. I'm scared that I won't like him. You know, because I like Denzel and it looks like a cool, tough movie, but I also get the feeling that it won't be as good as John Wick. And I want it to be as good as John Wick, but I'm worried that it's just not.
But those are very high expectations. So
I don't know why or how, but all three
will have a hard time to enjoy this.
I don't know why or how, but all three John Wicks are just so good. The third one is incredible. And next year we get John Wick 4, and John Wick 5 was already greenlit. They're already going to do a fifth one. I guess they're going to try and do as many as they can before he's too old. I mean, isn't there,
let's get back to talk about those.
He's in his 50s already.
Those shitty sequels over sequels and sequels.
I mean, I could see them wrapping up the whole story in one more movie. I think doing 5 is a bit of an overkill. But I can understand. I mean, it was such a sleeper hit. It just blew up. So I'm not surprised they want to get as many as they can before he's too old. I mean, imagine like John Wick 8 and he's just like rolling around on the floor, cracking his back and stuff. And like,
yeah,
it's going to be, he's going to be in his 60s before they stop doing that. Did you see this picture of Keanu from the reboot of Bill and Ted where he doesn't have his beard?
No.
He looks like a strange, floppy, moist fish.
What?
You should pull it up on your phone, like Keanu, Bill and Ted, Face the Music. You'll see a picture of him without his beard. It looks weird, man. Like, you just don't see, you know, like when an older guy has had a beard for about 10 years and you just know him as that, like this wise, like, you know, whisker faced guy. And then all of a sudden he shaves it for something. And it, you see like the, you know, you just, you know, he's an older guy. You see like, you know, his face is sagged a bit and like, you know, his chin's a bit soft and stuff. And that's not an insult. He's still a handsome guy, but it just looks strange when you know him. Ugh. Look at that.
He looked like a fish.
It's so strange. There's, I'm going to show you a better one here, like a closer one that I found that really, really threw me for a loop from the Bill and Ted. Let's see. You did. Let's see. Beard off. Let's do Bill, Ted 2020. And oh, this is it. This is it here. Look at this, man. It just doesn't really seem like him, you know? It just doesn't really.
He looks like a Karen.
Yeah, he looks like, he looks kind of feminine with the long hair like that. You know, if he's going to shave his beard, he should at least cut his hair. But I think he has to keep that hair until John Wick's are over.
Yeah. But I meant it in the way like he's looking like he could definitely speak to a manager.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got that face big time.
Crazy shit.
Were you into the Matrix movies at all?
Of course.
What are your expectations for Matrix 4? And what do you think? You remember the last one, right? Remember what happens, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I kind of try to make myself forget that they're doing another hardly necessary sequel of that as well.
I'm nervous about it.
We're in a circle right now. You see, every new movie we touch on in this conversation, we're like, oh yeah, it's a reboot of
they're
that.
They're doing it. They're doing it again. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll watch it, but I guess
do you have any theories about anything? Because, I mean, you know, in the last one, I mean, it's not even really a spoiler here because it's 16 years old.
Yeah.
But in the last one, you know, Keanu, Neo and Trinity both die.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, if you remember,
it's going to be a literal reboot.
Yeah, maybe it's just like a refresh button on the computer somewhere, you know, like the architect is in his like little studio pressing a refresh button.
That would be the cheapest way to get to start the fourth one.
Imagine
if they're about to do that, I'm going to leave the cinema straight away.
Dude, imagine if the architect is sitting at like a Windows 95.
Yeah.
Like when you remember like the Dell, like the first Dell gateway like work laptops.
Yeah.
Like from
still the size of a freezer box, but
yeah, like this huge,
but mobile.
Yeah, this huge like briefcase size laptop.
Yeah.
I remember my dad had one for work. I was like, whoa, that's so crazy. Whoa. And the mouse pad was like this weird like rubber thing with your finger you'd move around the screen with and a click. And just imagine if the architect is like in his weird TV room with one of these old laptops and he just goes like Control Alt Delete.
Yeah, you know? I could totally imagine that.
It just opens up like programs to close down. He's like, ooh, Adobe Photoshop, close, Spotify, close. And the Matrix, ooh, it's like not responding. Ignore or quit. He's like, all right, quit it. And it starts refreshing.
That's the way Guardians of the Galaxy would do it.
That's true. That is how they would do that. Yeah. Man, I am so nervous about the fourth Matrix because
When will it release?
Well, somewhere in 2021, Matrix 4 and John Wick 4 are meant to release, I think, within like the same month.
Dude.
And then Bill and Ted, hopefully before that. I don't think Bill and Ted's going to do so well.
Big 21 for Keanu.
It's going to be a huge year for him. I don't think anyone really asked for another Bill and Ted. It was kind of a cult hit, but I just don't think. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't really want one. I don't care about that. I just want. No, I mean, The Matrix, of course, changed my life. Like,
dude,
you know,
those were so amazing.
I have some friends who, they're a bit older, and they say, you know, Star Wars was their everything. And I have friends who say that Indiana Jones was their everything. I have friends who say Lord of the Rings, you know, later generations, was their everything. For me,
that's right for me, by the way.
Yours is Lord of the Rings, right? I love Lord of the Rings. I've watched all of the extended things and whatever and nerded out on it. I love it. For me, my nerd out crazy thing that I can always, always watch is the Matrix trilogy. I loved it so much. I've watched it, I don't know, like 30 times, man.
Yeah, I've watched it quite a lot for some time, but then I got stuck back into my... Because you get back to those kind of movies you have somewhere in your either physical edition, DVDs,
right,
on your shelf or something, or in your digital on streaming platforms or whatever, downloaded it,
right,
on your hard drive, whatever, and those moments where you don't know what to watch and you get back to those classics, that in those situations, I kind of got to, okay, it's gonna be always Lord of the Rings, and I think I should.
I totally get that.
Yeah, but I think because I really used to love Matrix, and I think I should get back to maybe make a note or something and put it on my like a post-it on my TV next time I don't know what to watch. Let's give the first Matrix a chance again.
I mean, the first Matrix is just a perfect movie, man. It's so good. It's such a classical. The thing is, I think what's special about the Matrix, besides it being like a really avant-garde idea for 1999, the best year of movies ever, by the way. I think that besides it being like an avant-garde idea for the time, you know, it's a really classic story in terms of where it starts, how they introduce your protagonist, the arc and the obstacles that he overcomes. There's the mentor figure.
Yeah.
There's the love interest.
Yeah.
There's the climactic battle between good versus evil, saving the world. You know, it's a really, really classic structure. It's a really perfect structure.
How do you call this model in English?
You mean like the hero's journey?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Funny, because they translated word by word for German. Because I told you about this workshop.
It's like the something, the
Heldenreise.
Heldenreise. That's the hero trip. Yeah, yeah.
That Reise translates to journey. So it's...
Yeah, the hero's journey.
Word by word.
It's journey too. Okay, yeah. That's it. Yeah, it's
crazy perfect. because I got taught these things as well to think about even when shooting journalistic pieces.
Really?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
This is a kind of a goal for a certain formats of pieces.
Yeah.
Nice that you're opening a second bottle of wine. The first one has been absolutely amazing.
First one's pretty good, right? It's a Spanish wine from 2011.
Reserva.
And this one is Toscana. From 2018.
Where have you been wine shopping? And do I have to PayPal you $60 after we...
No, no. Dude, these were cheap wines. These were really cheap wines. I just had them for a while. This one smells okay. I don't think it's going to be as good as that one. That was pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten really back into red wines recently.
Remember 2 weeks... No, last week. I guess it's been last week when you told me... You're not drinking wine with me because you're making a pause, not because
you I took the week off. I did.
Yeah.
I did it.
But you made it sound
like I was taking like a month off or something. I'm not crazy.
Like you've had a phase when of drinking red wine when you were at college or something. I'm really back into drinking red wine. I was like, okay, dude, it took a week.
I think that week got me back into red wine, and then I just took a break from drinking in general. I think, all right, here's a good question. Here's a good question for you as a German, because I think this is a very divisive question, but let's say you're stuck on an island, right? Mm-hmm. And for the rest of your life.
They barely have islands in Germany.
I didn't say you were in Germany, hotshot. Let's say that you're on some island over here in the Indian Ocean somewhere, and you only have wine for the rest of your days.
Yeah.
Or you have beer. And the beer can be cooled. It's not as if you have gross beer. But you either have a plane crashes only carrying wine, or a plane crashes only carrying good of your favorite beer. Let's say, I don't know what your favorite beer is, Augustina or something, or Tegernsee. But let's just say, or a Zutle. Yeah. So it's Zutle Gold. One of the planes, and it's good wine. It's good wine.
Yeah.
And it's better than this. And it's Zutle Gold. A plane crashes. Which endless thing you have to choose?
Ooh, it is hard.
And the plane. To make this even more fair. Let's say that the plane that has the wine has white and red, and the plane that crashes with the beer has Helles, has normal lager beer, and it has Weizen.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Okay. And now it's a different thing and interesting, because if you just would have said okay, wine or beer, I would have definitely gone for that plane with the wine, because afterwards you added you choose your favorite beer, because I would have said it can go much worse in sense of your taste and expectations of the drink.
Yeah.
When it comes to beer, rather than when wine, mm-hmm. for me, because I basically, as long as it's not sweet, I can basically drink any wine, and some of them are not so nice.
I don't like sweet wines either.
But with beers, dude. Yesterday I was at an Italian place, and I had a Löwenbräu, and I think they didn't clean their Zapfanlage
really
so well, and it tasted so awful. And so if you had asked in general, okay, wine or beer, I would definitely go for wine. But
I would go for wine.
But in that case, like red and white wine or Weissbier and Helles. You know, for me as a guy from Bavaria, that's hard.
I think it's harder for you.
Because if I was super Bavarian, it would be obviously beer. But I got such a big thing for good wine.
Yeah. I had this debate on this vacation with Ethan's family. And someone said wine.
Give me some inspiration. What did those people say?
Well, Ify's dad said wine.
Oh, yeah, he did?
He said wine, and I also said wine, because the thing was, if it was, you know, endless cases of, like, the highest quality, you know, like, I don't even know how expensive wine can get, but, like, imagine every bottle is, like, these, you know, 400, 500-euro bottles or something.
Okay.
Like, the highest quality.
That's what they think about. Okay.
And by the way, that's not the kind of wine that we purchase. I'm not trying to, like, elude anybody this way. But, you know, that hotel did have those bottles on the shelf, and we did talk about them. It was like, that's like a, you know, 500-euro bottle. But, like, imagine.
That's why I ask you if I owe you a lot of money if I drink this wine.
No. This is surprisingly good for really cheap wine. But, you know, if you have like this great quality wine, you know, there's so many, like, the aroma from the smell and the flavor palette and, like, you know, the emotion you get from it. And, like, I don't know, with red wine, like, of course I prefer red wine over white, but if it's a warm, sunny day, I'm going to take white for a little while. And so something about red, like, I don't know. I like getting the purple stained teeth and the vibe and, like, the loosey goosey, like, loving feeling. I once asked, I once asked an older gentleman what makes a good red wine.
Yeah.
And they said, a good red wine makes you want to make love to your partner. And I think that holds true. I think if you have a good,
partner
delicious, a good, delicious, like sensational red wine, it's not as if you just get like, I don't know, like a wild horn dog or something, but I think you get this fulfillment of like, oh, like I'm in this loving, open armed sort of like, this is good sort of feeling. And for me, of course I love beer and I do drink a lot of beer, and especially living in Germany, I have some of the best beer in the world. But with me, beer is more of a, like an upper, you know, it's a social thing. I'm going to go to this place where I don't know so many people. I'm going to crack a few beers, try and get to know some people. Yeah. It's easier, you know, or like I'm in Italy. Hey, I'm going to have a nice cold beer with this pizza or this pasta or something. Like it just goes together well. And, you know, you can take a beer on the train. You can take a beer, you know, here and there. It's a good like traveling companion and everything. You don't have a glass of wine, you know, and, you know, whatever on the bus or something. So beer has its qualities, and I like beer on the river and, you know, like putting a case in the cold water and taking a swim. And it's hard to say, but I think if I was really trapped somewhere and I could only have one or the other, I would take red wine.
And I guess you get me with this, actually, because the one thing for me, as you mentioned this, not only about a good wine makes you want to make love with your partner, but I think wine always, good wine, could be red wine or white wine, always, how to name that, makes you enjoy other things even better, like food.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. It, like, pairs
or,
well with
or,
it.
Or basically, like, this is not about, we know smoking's not good, blah, 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 but it makes me enjoy a cigarette way more.
Wine does.
And in a more sophisticated way.
I was literally hoping you would say sophisticated. I was saying it in my head like, sophisticated.
Yeah.
It feels, yeah.
Then smoking a cigarette with a coffee or a beer or something.
Yeah. You know,
and especially with food. And that's a big part for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, if I had to choose one of both, and for every nice dinner I could make out of a coconut and a half a crocodile or whatever, on my weird island.
What are you eating? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're on the island, right.
Yeah, I'm on the island.
Yeah, I'm just eating some shark ass and some...
Yeah. And alligator. Plus, if we think the story through, you said this beer could be cold. But who said...
I mean, imagine I had
electricity on this island.
No, but imagine, like, you set the crates, you know, at a certain, like, pocket of the ocean that, you know, crevices into a small, like, bathing pond or something with a little waterfall, and it's, you know, it's always cold.
Okay.
You know, and then you always get, you just put a case in there for 10 minutes.
I would have said after a time, it won't be that nice. Plus, wine lasts longer.
Yeah, and the longer it lasts,
you gotta watch out with beer, and I'm outside. It could get a lot of sun, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
That also affects wine as well. But
no, but the thing is, it's easier to... I wouldn't think about it so logistically of like, I wouldn't think of like the technicalities of this imagination, you know, like, of course, on the island, all these things are taken care of, you know, like, oh, let's say the beer is inside the plane. It's sheltered from the sun. You have a cool place.
It's just about the decision.
It's about like, it's about the decision. Yeah. Exactly.
But I'm with you. I'd go for the wine.
I would definitely go for the wine. And I think 10 years ago, I would never have said that. I think the last 10 years, I mean, let's just be honest. I think the last 5 years changed that dramatically, because I never really had life-changing wine.
And that's funny because the last 5 years was your
time in Germany. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, like whenever I have friends who go back to where you're from, and they come back to Munich, and I know they're going to come back to Munich, I often ask, can you please bring? You know, I haven't asked you actually so often, but You know, it's like, hey, if you're going to come back, can you please bring, you know, maybe a case of soda or just like three or four bottles or something?
Yeah.
I'll pay for them or whatever, or, you know, I can buy you dinner. And like when my when our friend Tim came and stayed over not too long ago, he said he brought six bottles for me, but he forgot them.
Mm,
I was so devastated. So the thing is, like, there is great beer that I do love, and I think this beer from your hometown is quite possibly the best beer I've ever had, and I love it. I really do love it. But I think the last.
By the way,
since I've been here,
we wouldn't say no to a Tetler endorsement as a podcast.
What?
We wouldn't say no to a Tetler endorsement with this podcast.
Endorsement.
Endorsement.
Oh, a total endorsement. Oh, yeah. I would not say no to that. Man, can you imagine if they did that? That'd be great.
And then maybe you'd get your beer delivered to Munich.
Imagine if we had to do a read right now, and it was like, well, Mo, I don't know about you, but if I was stuck on an island, I would want nothing more than a nice cold case of Zöttler Gold beer.
Yeah, and that we would bring that in exactly 5 minutes after you said you would definitely go for the wine.
Yeah. Zöttler wine goes down smooth, you know, or whatever.
And it's definitely made out of grapes, guys.
It's really good.
It's really made out of grapes.
Man, it's such a hard debate always. But I love these would you rathers. Did you guys have like a big phase of only would you rathers?
No,
you know, like I think a few episodes ago we talked about the trend of the Chuck Norris jokes.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a huge trend of would you rathers, and you know the best would you rathers are when you don't want either option.
Okay, you can definitely give me another one because I've never had that phase.
Let me try to think of like one of the like the worst, like the best ones are the worst ones, because it's okay. Always like, it's always like, what's the lesser of two evils, you know? I think a good one would be something like, would you rather your parents watch a sex tape of you and your girlfriend, or would you rather you and your girlfriend watch a sex tape of your parents?
Okay, let me think about that.
So you don't want either to happen. Of course you don't want either to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to choose.
Before we get to that, would
here's
you mind
a nice read taking, from Zöttler Gold.
Taking a little break here so I can go on the toilet. And maybe if we have an endorsement within the next 5 minutes, yeah, we can put in a little clip here.
All right.
All right.
Okay, we're back. So the question was, would you rather your parents watch a sex tape of you and your girlfriend, or you and your girlfriend have to watch a sex tape of your parents? Sorry, Mom.
You know, I have the same kind of issue because I know my mom will be listening to this, and I guess that my girlfriend...
She might also check in. Yeah.
Same for you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
but they know my dark mind. So I'm curious what you answer.
And I have to choose.
I mean, if you're super uncomfortable with it, I can also make a different one. But I think the best would you rathers are the ones that are a little uncomfortable. I'm going to pull up some of my favorites. Best would you rather questions. Yes.
Yes. They have a list.
Oh, they have so many. Yeah. There's one called.
So give me another one.
Okay. Okay. We can. You can answer me that one off mic. let's see. That one's not so good. Oh, would you rather? Okay. Would you rather lose the ability to read or lose the ability to speak?
Definitely use the ability.
I mean, they both affect your job pretty heavily. I just thought about that. I mean, you're in journalism. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you,
that's a tough one.
Someone would have to dictate like important information to you.
But it's also a tough one because if you take one step further, what are the surroundings? Do I live in a surrounding where it is maybe as hard, whatever?
No, you are.
To learn how to speak again, because it is possible.
No. It's not possible. It's a cold question.
Okay.
You can never read again, or you can never speak
then,
again.
Then,
of course, you can learn American Sign Language. There's a German Sign Language, I guess, right?
Isn't it?
Or is it just ASL for everyone? It can't be. It can't just be ASL, right? That's American Sign Language. It has to be a sign language for every language.
Yeah.
I just thought about that for the first time. Welcome to Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, where the host just discovered that there's sign language in every language. Yeah.
But I would definitely have to go for not being able to speak anymore.
Okay, you would take being a mute.
Yeah.
You could still read. You could still play music. You could still...
Exactly.
You could still do everything except for literally talk.
Yeah. And that would be a tough one because the whole job idea of working as a host, etc., would not be possible anymore. And that would be pretty hard for me, I guess.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, with still being able how to read, there are so many other things I could do job-wise.
Right.
Plus to entertain myself.
Right. You'd be more of like a behind-the-scenes guy who like orchestrates... Yeah. Bigger projects from there.
Mm.
Let's do a funny one. Would be, would you rather be covered in fur or covered in scales?
Scales?
Scales is like a fish.
Ah, okay. Fur or scales? Definitely fur.
I think I'd take fur. Yeah,
no.
I would take fur.
Unless it would say like you're living underwater.
Unless you're living underwater, then being in fur is not so great, unless you're a polar bear.
Damn, they're always an exception.
Okay, no exceptions. Would you rather be in jail for a year or lose a year of your life?
Boom. You could also add, where would I have to go to jail? Is it Colombia? Is it Russia?
Yeah, I guess German prisons are pretty easygoing, huh?
But
compared to like Guantanamo Bay or Azkaban. Not Azkaban. Alcatraz.
I wouldn't take Azkaban.
Azkaban.
If Azkaban was a possible choice, I would go for...
I would not take Azkaban.
A year of my life.
Yeah. If it was between Azkaban and just like not living to 90, but instead of to 89,
yeah.
I think I would happily take that.
But regarding my circumstances and imagining for myself, not about the question in general, imagining a European prison, I would definitely go for 1 year in jail.
Well, let's make this interesting. Would you rather go to an American prison for a year or forget 1 year that you've already lived?
Could I choose which year I forget?
No.
Randomly.
It'd either be 2019 or it'd be... What year were you born? 1998? Eight? Wow, I just guessed that. So would you rather...
You guess that every time.
Would you rather forget some year between 1998 and 2019 and you can't control it? Or go to an American prison for a year?
Damn.
And you can't... you can't choose. You know, you just get indicted into the system. Indicted. You get imprisoned. Welcome to an American prison. You've been indicted. Yeah, right.
I think I would forget 1 year of my life.
Yeah, me too.
Because I guess in any case,
I mean, most American prisons.
If I sum up all of the moments we talked about this last episode, if I sum up all of the moments I do not remember or do not remember correctly,
right,
which were more or less important in my life, if you sum that up, that might already be half a year or 8 months or whatever. All those events, if you sum them up, I already don't have a clear.
Right, we talked about that in the last episode. Yeah. That your memory is not so,
I guess,
great.
Forgetting about a whole year wouldn't make it worse.
Right,
kind of. I guess there are one or 2 years that definitely could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
No, but they could not. We're not in time traveling. No. I would definitely go for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Let me do one more.
Okay. And can I read one to you?
Of course. Of course. From number seven down. I haven't read anything. You can choose if one sticks out to you really good. I was going to read number seven to you, so you can choose a different one if you want. Just reading this list off my phone here. Maybe you see one that's really applicable to the kind of person that I am.
Oh, we could this one make philosophical.
We could this one make.
Would you rather have all traffic lights you approach be green or never have to stand in line again?
Hmm. I wonder if that means that traffic lights would be normal. Or if I would hit every red light. I think it just means that traffic lights would be normal.
Yeah.
If traffic lights were normal, but I would never have to stand in line again, I think I would choose never standing in line. I don't care about traffic too much. I know people who get really, really frustrated when they hit like two or three red lights back to back. I mean, that doesn't affect me too much, and it doesn't slow down travel like so much that you're just, you know, an hour's late for something. So I think, you know, maybe if I was back in America and I was driving myself a lot as usual, it could be different. But I hate standing in line for things. I hate it in the grocery store or at the movies or at the KVR,
It's friggin' hell.
We've talked about that place before, but for anyone living abroad, there's like the state, like the government building that you have to go in countless times when you move abroad to set up your, you know, your visa. You have to go there, you have to make appointments and talk about your health insurance and talk about your, you know, your contracts with companies and give them your social security information, and they don't want to speak to you. They don't want to be there. They're really bitter. It takes forever. You're there with thousands of people who are there in long lines every day.
Yeah.
I would choose that. No more lines.
Yeah, same for me. Yeah. And I have one for you, my friend.
You have a good one?
As I know. For you, my friend, as a gourmet, as a lover of awesome food.
I'm just fat.
Here is your question.
Okay.
That was not what I wanted to say, by the way.
I know.
But here's a question. Would you rather give up all drinks except for water or give up eating anything that was cooked in an oven?
Hmm.
That's a tough one.
So, let's see. What's not cooked in an oven? I could have a seafood salad.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I could have squid.
Seafood salad.
I like squid salads.
Dude, you enjoyed that holiday. 400 euro bottles of wine, seafood salad.
Those are the things
that stuck to your mind. I like that way of thinking, man.
Let's see. Of course, that would mean I have to give up pizza, which is pretty devastating.
That's what I thought about.
Yeah, that's a big part of who I am. It's almost an embarrassingly large part of who I am. It just reminds me, I just ordered three new hot sauces this week. if my friend Moritz is listening to this episode, you gotta try these new hot sauces. I would Oh man, that's so hard because I'm such an alcoholic too. I mean, I'm not like an alcoholic, but I do enjoy, as we've spoken about, my wine and my beer. I've actually pushed a little bit away from schnapps. So I really dig so much into wine and beer. I don't know that I could really give up, like, I don't know, breads. You know, I couldn't go to a bakery and get like a pretzel anymore.
You could get nothing from a
Could never bakery. Go to a bakery again. I couldn't really have any bread at all. I mean, I would lose a lot of weight. No carbs, you know?
No.
So it's either, I mean, but if I balance it with, you know, not having any carbs, but I'm drinking it like the same way that I am, I don't know that too much would change. Man, it was sure would be hard to give up bread and pizza. I think I would give up everything but water. I think I would be that guy.
No. And I find it funny because it was tough for me. Not because of the water part, because besides maybe wine, I have days where I drink nothing besides water. But on the other hand, I thought about, okay, I don't use my oven that much. But then I got to the point, okay, damn, that includes pizza, bread, everything.
Yeah.
And then I got back to...
That's a really hard one, man.
Only water.
I just thought to myself, too, like, how dumb would it be that I just choose water so that I can have bread when I could have... when I think about going to a party, you know, I could just eat healthy. I could just eat carb-free and eat, like... Yeah. You know, I could have, you know, like vegetables and seafood.
You're sounding disappointed already.
Yeah, you know, I could have like pan fried fish with vegetables and I don't know, some fresh.
You could still have fries, by the way.
If they are fried, if they're like, yeah, that's true. If they're not put into an oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You and don't most fries have aren't. To use an oven for fries.
You know, I think I might. I think I might flip that. I think I might have messed up. I think I might go with no more pizza.
Because by the way, that's a great strategy. You eat healthier,
yeah,
by eating less carbs.
Right.
So you can fry more things.
Yeah. I can fry things. Oh man, I can have fried chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? You know what? Okay. I've chosen. I love pizza. It's a big part of who I am, but I think I can't give up chicken wings.
Because, with hot sauce.
Because the hot sauce, I mean, it's just like, that's...
Who I am.
That's who I am, man. Like, you know, I have like 14 hot sauces in my fridge, and I just bought three more. I tried all of them.
Some do hurt you.
Dude, I just bought three more. I bought, you know,
even
this one.
Spicy ones?
You know, the one that was like, the brand is Hellfire.
Yeah.
So I bought another Hellfire, but it's called Fool's Fire instead of, I think the one that I have is called Hellfire, like something stupid like Death. And then I have another one that's the same company, Hellfire.
Zombie.
But it's,
Hellfire Zombie.
Edition. Yeah, it's like something like that. And I got one called,
Beyond
called
Death.
Fool's Fire. Yeah, it's like Beyond Death, Hellfire. Oh. And that one is really, really hot, but it's such a ridiculous name.
But I enjoyed some of them.
Dude, I mean, there's this one, Aardvark, Secret Aardvark. That's such a great hot sauce. I can eat that with everything. Sometimes I order these like sort of Greek-style chicken wraps, or I'll pick some up, like a kebab or something.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I can take that home, and I can really squeeze. You know how some people will add... like mustard or mayo or ketchup on top of like each bite that they take.
Yeah.
You know, hold like a wrap.
Yeah.
Like a gyro or something and put something on top, take a bite. And it's not healthy to do that. I know. But I will do that with Secret Aardvark hot sauce.
But it's the best way to eat a original Bavarian pretzel, Breze.
To put it with mustard.
With butter.
Ah, you do it because like you break a piece and do like butter,
yeah,
bite,
I find
butter
it,
bite.
I find it so much smoother than the kind of Butterbrezen.
Right, which is more butter, like a sandwich style.
Whereas the sandwich style, which doesn't really work because of the because of the
little tiny pieces,
the aesthetics of a pretzel.
Yeah, I think it's funny that they do that, the butter pretzel, Butterbrezel.
No,
because of this. Yeah, because the middle part is so thin and so crunchy that you can't really cut through it, and if they still do it, but
yeah,
and you know, it's so flimsy off. They fall off. Yeah, and some bakeries over butter.
Yeah,
so you take a bite and like a huge fat chunk of butter either gets caught in your teeth, which really feels like, well, I'm gonna have heart disease tonight. Or it falls on the floor and just feels like, you just feel like a big disgusting failure. So
yeah, but I now feel that you really had that would you rather face when I look at how our conversation has turned out about this choice between only water or no food which has been through an oven, because I'm totally with you. I totally go for only water.
Yeah, let me get the phone back.
Now I want to ask you one.
Oh, yeah.
More, because I found one which I find pretty funny.
Okay.
Number 25.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather 5% of the population have telepathy or 5% of the population have telekinesis? You're not part of the 5%. That has telepathy or telekinesis.
Okay, wait. Would I rather that 5% of the human race,
yeah,
has telepathy?
Yeah.
Or 5% of the human race has telekinesis?
Yeah.
And I'm not part of either party?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm just a civilian.
Yeah.
And I'm choosing if 5% of the human race has one or the other, and I don't have their powers. I'm just watching.
Oh, you're like Professor X.
He has telepathy and
without
telekinesis. I think he has both.
Without both of them, I thought.
Dr. X, but without both of those powers that we talked
no,
about.
No, but I thought more about like him having those people around him, the X-Men. But I haven't thought about.
Oh man,
thought about it.
That's hard. I mean, do the question is, I guess, do I know? The thing is,
do I know what telepathy is?
No, but yeah. Do I know what you're saying? But I wonder if I would know who the people are. The thing is, I also think that if 5% of the world had telekinesis in it, yeah, that one's all right, right?
That's damn.
It's not bad, huh? I think if 5% of the world had this one of these powers and it was legitimate, you could legitimize these powers, mm-hmm. I think the whole world would know. I think I would just be creating 5% like hyper famous crazy people that would be locked. Either they'd be famous for their power. Sorry, I'm pointing. Either they would be famous for
easy,
power,
bro.
Or they would be like a government experiment and they'd be like kidnapped and held underground and like drugged and like prodded open and like autopsied and stuff. I'm curious about that.
No.
I don't know, man. That's hard. Like, I mean, telepathy. You know, this idea of reading minds and talking to you in the mind, or moving things with the mind. I think moving things with the mind is more dangerous. However, planting an idea can be just as dangerous.
I think even more dangerous, because it's more potential on the long run.
I guess if you have telekinesis, you're going to have some people within that 5%. I mean, hold on. Let's do some math here. So let's say there's, you know, 8 billion people, right? I don't even know if I can do that on a calculator. 800,000, that's 8. Oh, I can't do 8 billion on a calculator.
Right? I'm not sure.
So 8 billion times 10, right? So that's 80. No, that's 80 million.
How
do I get to 8? Oh, man. I'm so embarrassed. My math. How do I multiply? My God. All right. I'm going to do this on the website. 5% of 8 billion. 5% of 8 billion is 40. No, 400 million. 5% of 8 billion is 400 million people. That's America.
Like America plus Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So Okay, let's imagine that all the entire country of America has either telepathy or telekinesis.
But I think you couldn't make this point because it is like this pretty weird statistic that, I don't know, every... And I don't want to get on this wrong, but where is the statistic that say like every sixth person on this planet at the moment is Asian or something?
Oh, right. Yeah. So if it's just like 5% of the entire human race, then they're more likely to be from the East.
It is
actually from India and from China.
No, but I wanted to point out in general that, it would not be likely that all of the US and all of Germany would have telepathy,
right,
or telekinesis.
No. I didn't mean that literally.
But if you, but the sheer amount, yes.
Yeah.
But I guess if you spread it all around the world,
yeah, it would be like
it could have big impact. If you're thinking the whole Marvel universe thing through. It could make, I don't know, if it's selected randomly and you have basically in our modern society as poor regarded country, but there are like 200 people living there with the power of telepathy or telekinesis, that can turn into a humongous world power.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. I mean, you know, if they have telekinesis, how strong is it? Can they lift buildings? Can a terrorist, like just take planes down or something, or take like just crumble a city with their mind? Or is it like, oh, I can move a pencil, you know, how strong is it? Can they just do good magic tricks? Can they take the watch off your hand without moving, or can they do some serious damage? And then again, you know, this idea of telepathy to put an idea in your head or to manipulate people from inside their mind has, you know, can cause a lot of damage. It can cause entire movements, and it can also cause terrorism, and it can cause like entire political shifts and stuff. I'm really torn. It's more about like, do I believe in more like immediate threat or long-term threat? If it comes down to how people work, how people function, you know, what's scarier to me? Do I want to see them, is like how much do I trust 5%? How much do I trust 400 million people around the world? You know, because there's bound to be a chunk of them.
I would say not that much.
Yeah. Because it depends where they're from, what social class they're involved in, how prejudiced they might be, or how systemically we are just moving some power cords around here, guys. Sorry about that. But like how systemically, what's the word I'm looking for? Mistreated that they might be. So there's so many factors there in terms of what they might do with those powers. Guaranteed, some of those people are going to be the best magicians in the world. And they're just going to bring smiles to people's faces.
That's a fact.
I would be one of those guys. If I could do telekinesis, I would just do great magic tricks. And I would never let anyone know that I was part of the 5%.
Or become a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Imagine being a football player.
Dude.
Just being running. Able to move
They're like, he's the fastest player of all time. The other
side's O-line around or something. Or oh, even man. The ball.
I would just go join the NBA and do a dunk from half court.
Become.
You know, or like I would just shoot the ball from the other end of the court and it would just always go in. You know? It would
every second shot taken is from the logo.
Mm-hmm. I would run up into the stands and do shots, you know, just like, is this count as 6 points? I think I have to go with...
Nickname would be No Man Just Amazing.
I think I might have to go with telekinesis.
All right.
I think it has shorter term damage potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people are going to find out pretty quickly who the 5% are.
Yeah.
If just one day they can move things with their mind, then it's going to become like a phenomenon. And like a lot of them will probably be under heavy surveillance.
By the way, that's exactly the point. Because the people who have the ability of telepathy...
would never be found out.
Could make you never find out that there are people with those powers.
Right.
But on the other hand, people who have the ability of telekinesis are pretty obvious to anyone.
Yeah. So, hey, check this out. How did you move that? Yeah. How did you do that?
Mm-hmm. And telepathy brings so many paradoxons and complexes.
I mean, if you have one
just like time genius, traveling,
huh?
It brings the same kind of complexes with it, just like time traveling. Yeah. Because you could always think one step beyond.
Yeah.
But where do you get to?
If you could just have one person with this skill who was a genius with bad intentions, then I think that's far more dangerous than somebody who can...
1,000 people with her...
Yeah.
The ability of telekinesis, yes.
I mean, you have to imagine, 400 million people, I don't know how many... percentage of that would be highly intelligent. Let's say another 5% of that 400 million would be highly intelligent.
No.
And let's say out of that percentage that's highly intelligent, a percentage of that has cruel intentions because of their past, because of their motive, because of
whatever
situation might be that they want to cause pain to others, whether that's political, religious, or just insecurity. You know, a lot of people just do things because they weren't loved. So you have to imagine out of that, then I think it's could cause more damage that they secretly live amongst the world, kind of like serial killers in a way, and like roam around and like Ted Bundy, was a handsome, charismatic, charming guy who just roamed around the town and, you know, butchered women for years.
No.
And still got out of so much trouble before he was finally put to death. I think this telepathy skill would be more in that category than people who can move rocks with their head.
Yeah.
Oh, we did it, man. We did it. We answered that one. I want to put one back on you. That was a very good one. That was a really nice one.
Yeah, but I scrolled like 18 others until I got to that one. Because between number 12 and number 24, there are many... which I think are too easy.
I can imagine that. Yeah, the thing is a lot of these lists, they don't give you two things you don't want, which I think the best ones are two things you don't want. Oh, here we go. Would you rather be completely insane, but you know that you're insane, or completely insane and you believe that you are sane?
So crazy. Insane in what terms?
Like, you're mentally insane. You...
Insane in the brain.
Insane was a...
Insane in the membrane.
Insane
in the brain.
Is that the rhyme?
Yeah.
Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain. Got no brain.
Yeah, they bring that in for the later hooks.
Oh, that's it.
Insane. But believe me, I know my Cypress Hill.
Is that Cypress Hill?
Yes, sir. By the way...
I always wondered where that came from.
Have you ever listened or even seen the video edition of Be Real's podcast?
No, never.
Be Real, the rapping guy from Cypress Hill.
Mm-mm. I don't really.
I gotta show you. It's imagine the Joe Rogan Experience,
mm-hmm.
but leaving everything that is not spacey or about super
like without conspiracy theories and aliens.
But without the rest.
Yeah.
So it's only
the conspiracy theories.
Only that. And a lot of talk about some
illegal herbs. That's okay. the main thing, but it's pretty entertaining though.
So they just talk about herbage and aliens and conspiracies.
Yes, sir.
They seem to go hand in hand.
But let's get back to the question.
Right. Would you rather be completely insane and know that you're insane, or completely insane and believe that you are sane?
Could you turn the microphone a little bit because you're speaking into it from the wrong side?
I thought I was speaking at the halfway side. Oh, this side.
Just straight in here.
Oh, see, like the cover on it is a bit misleading. I thought it was speaking at the logo, but I'm speaking in between them.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
In between the logo.
So, would you rather be completely insane and know that you're insane, or completely insane and believe that you are sane?
I think I definitely go for believing that I am sane.
Why?
Simply because I'd rather have a good time.
I'd rather have a good time than no time at all, homie.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm a real bad overthinker, and thinking too much about things and bad stuff, etc. And I think it would put so much extra pressure and depression on me if I knew I was completely insane. If I thought I was sane, I might have to deal with some other consequences, probably because of my actions, etc. But
yeah, I was just thinking, like, if you believe you're sane, but you're acting insane, then you're really pushing the people closest to you away. That's hard, you know. Like, your family would be so upset all the time. You probably lose your girlfriend. You might lose, like, you're not able to probably like provide rent or keep a job.
Both,
but you believe that like everything's happening to you and that you're the right one and the conspiracies are really, you know, falling in on you. I think I'd rather know that I'm insane and just like try and get the help.
You get one with that, because I like where this is coming, because this is hard, because you could argue both ways leads into some form of very bad depression.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
No, it's hard, but I think you... No, I think I'd stick to, okay, thinking I am sane.
Okay, I get it. I do get that.
Yeah, because...
it's hard, probably.
It's hard, probably, but with...
But you would think that everyone around you is lying to you or, like, cheating on you or... You know, but you feel...
Yeah, it could even be harder, right? But it may sound hard, but there are a lot of people in general. A lot of people have a lot of issues that they pretend not to have.
Or they're other people's problems.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, it's not my fault. My landlord's an asshole. You know, he asks for rent on the first. He knows my job doesn't pay till the whatever, you know.
If I'm totally honest, I think I gotta go with you, but on the other hand, I'm not sure, but probably there's one big thing, because if we gotta bring this to real life situations, and this might sound hard because we have talked about this, but imagine certain forms of drug addiction, like alcoholism or other substances,
right,
where you have people knowing that they actually have a form of disease or are insane, and people who don't, who might be stuck on a trip or
disillusioned somehow.
Like, we talked about alcoholism and disillusions and how it's pushed away out of public conversations and people tend to build their bubbles, etc.
Yeah.
Not realizing that they have a real problem.
Right.
And when I think of those kind
they're not self-aware enough.
Exactly. And when I think of those kind of situations, then I gotta say, you totally get the point. Rather know that you have a problem and being able to do something about it.
Right.
Then
to be able to tell people just, I'm not healthy.
Yeah. Then just living your best life.
and pushing everyone away.
Exactly.
I mean,
so yeah. Yeah. So yeah, once again, you get me with that.
Let's just do one more. And I think this is a really great one. And we can both answer this one because I haven't thought about the answer yet. But I think in terms of like today's heavy social media influence on our generations and how it affects everything today, from like, you know, Instagram influencers to...
I deleted Instagram once again from my phone.
You deleted it from your phone? Today?
No.
Or recently?
Like 6 days ago or a week ago, whatever.
Oh, that's funny because I tagged you in a picture today. it probably feels great.
Yeah, it feels great. But just because to take a little time out, because on iOS, mm-hmm. you can check your screen time.
Yeah, it tells you every day.
Exactly. But. And I gotta admit, there are days when you're doing home office or you're sitting at the office and mm-hmm. There's nothing. I guess you notice you're on a project,
mm-hmm.
but obviously you can always do more, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But you are at the point where you got everything done.
Or you're at a good stopping point.
And you just hang out there and you start to pick out your phone,
mm-hmm.
and do random stuff. Like you said, when you're sitting in a class who's watching a movie.
Right.
Let's be honest, you're watching TikToks or whatever.
Yeah.
And
or scrolling through Instagram. And if you're older than me, then you're on Facebook.
Yeah. And I think that has in some form taking a little overhand for my understanding of how much time I want to spend on those kind of platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I do this basically once or twice a year to just take a break. Last year it has been like 3 weeks where I had my phone completely shut off.
That's amazing. That's the best feeling ever.
And one other phase where I had like 3 weeks without social media.
Yeah.
And just to set your subconscious need of input and
your subconscious need and
mm-hmm. presence on social media platforms,
yeah.
to a level where you agree with yourself on again, just to do a little setback. I do this every once in a while.
It's so important. It's so important. Social media is so disgustingly toxic and it's so addictive at the same time. Last year, 2019, I was working at the school job and we took the kids, the year four kids, on a week long, or I think it was a week and a half or whatever, to this cabin area, like this, basically like a giant dormitory building where all the year four kids could go there and like have like a vacation with the teaching assistants. It was all a very young crew. There was a few teachers there too. And, you know, basically all the people in charge were in their 20s and there was like a couple of teachers, whatever, in their 30s, but everyone was pretty young.
Yeah.
And we were in charge of like, I don't know, 60 or 65, 70 kids who were just there like, you know, having fun and letting go and saying goodbye and playing games and just forgetting about the real world. And then we would bring them back to school for their last week or whatever, you know, to prepare for their graduation. And they had asked me to go to assist on the trip, and I was very excited to go. I was there. I was really getting into the school system, and I was happy to connect with some of the friends I was making there, one of which is the guy that I went to see Tenet with tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought, you know, a little suitcase, and I had my guitar with me because they wanted me to perform some nice, like, you know, bedtime songs for the kids, which was so sweet and so fun to do. The important part of the story is that the day that we packed into this giant bus to take all the kids to the cabin, to the getaway, I was standing in the staff kitchen having a coffee, talking to a coworker about what was going to happen and what I was thinking about. And when I got on the bus, we were, I don't know, maybe half an hour away from the school. And I realized that I forgot my phone in the staff kitchen back at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you know, those first 15, 20 minutes, you kind of freak out because you're so connected to your phone. You know, I wasn't wearing a watch last year. I bought a watch this year so that I stopped looking at my phone for the time.
That's what I wanted to say because I got a watch like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest effect I've recognized on myself.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at your phone for the time constantly, they want you to do that. They want you to say, I don't need a watch. I have a phone. And then you see the notifications. Then you open up your apps and then you're on your phone.
That's also the reason why I disabled all push notifications for anything besides messengers, email, and news.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I should really do that for Instagram because that's what gets me. And so I was on the bus and I realized I forgot my phone and I double checked everything. I triple checked my pockets and my jacket and my bag. And I realized, oh no, I left it on the coffee maker in the staff kitchen. And you know, of course, the first thing I did was I asked my friend for his phone and I logged into Facebook on his phone, sent a message to Efi and told her, hey, I don't have my phone. Just so you know, if anything happens, you know, call this number. I gave her his number and I said, I'm going to try and borrow someone else's phone tonight to tell you that everything's fine. So, you know, all good. Don't worry. I just forgot it.
But is this kind of generational, differences anecdote, like people, most likely older people,
would just like to remember her number and call her?
or just being clear, okay, I'm out for the weekend for this whatever trip with the school kids.
Right.
I'm not available. Maybe if I find a phone somewhere,
I'll call you on Sunday,
but that's it.
Like in the old days, you might have a payphone or the building that we go to would have like a landline. Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of the
it's my version of that.
It's kind of this classic anecdote. Yeah, back in the days, we didn't used to have this and that.
Oh man, I mean, whenever I watch movies, even from like 1990, they're on payphones. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Basically, I just gave her a heads up. I don't have my phone, so if you need something, I'm not available. Just call this number if there's an emergency.
Yeah, sure. Because we all are used to it.
We're so used
and
to it,
and especially for special relationships, especially for partners,
of course, you're used to texting every couple of hours or something,
and to have your partner available all of the time. So yeah, sure, you do that and inform your partner that you're not available.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, which if you imagine us like living in a bigger city, rarely occurs that you have those kind of situations.
Exactly. And, you know, the best part was just to continue that thought that we had. The best part was, you know, after I felt pretty naked and pretty strange about not having it for the first, I would say, to be honest, from the first 2 hours, like, which is a pretty long time to, would you think about it? Because it's, you should be all right with it pretty quickly. But the entire bus ride, I just had all this anxiety and I had to, you know, borrow my friend's phone to like let a staff member know that I forgot my phone there. Can you collect it? Can you take it to the front office? Can you let my boss know? And I found out that my boss was going to visit us in 2 days. She always comes by on this trip and visits the kids, apparently. And I said, okay, that's my only option. That's the only chance I'm going to get. In 2 days, I get my phone back. She's going to bring it. So the rest of that whole day and the entire next day, I didn't have my phone. And once I knew that when it was going to come back, that it wasn't like, you know, a lost cause for the whole week or whatever, then I relaxed. And dude, it was just this giant, big blue oceanic refresh button. Everything just opened up and I just relaxed. It was so much better. I hate these phones. I hate how I am so hooked to it. You know, like I'm thankful that the technology exists to like Google whatever I need to do and look at maps and stuff. But you know, the companies that have created everything inside this device, they want you to be on it constantly, and they've thought of everything to do that.
Yeah, I am.
So, you know, on this trip, it was, you know, it was great. I was connecting with the kids and with my coworkers, and I wasn't thinking about any social media at all. I wasn't worried about taking pictures to like make a moment, and I wasn't worried about checking emails or whatever. It was like, yeah, I'll see it in 2 days, whatever, no worries.
No.
And I wasn't bored. And I think because I have my phone, I think of reasons to be bored so that I look at my phone to not be bored. The presence of this creates moments where I get bored where I wouldn't normally.
Yeah.
And by the evening of the first day, I was entertained by everything. I was entertained by the weather and by the coworkers and by the kids and by the momentum of like what we're doing there. The next day was like games and events and lunch and then like long pauses where we weren't doing anything. And I was just able to like lay there and have my thoughts and enjoy, you know, whatever came my way. And it was such a nice feeling, man. And I really think that.
And it affects so many parts of your life. Yeah. One thing I realized is so often when you just watch Netflix, like you got a good show running or a movie that you already have seen someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch Netflix, but you still have your phone in your hand, and I don't know.
Yeah.
In my case, check Instagram or play some Candy Crush or whatever.
The moment that one line of dialogue isn't engaging,
yeah,
you sit there and you kind of zone out.
And it's crazy.
Your phone.
And I gotta say, what drives me the most to consciously do those kind of breaks and pauses to my activity, let's say online, it's this kind of anxiety I have about not making use of my time I have, especially during the day when I'm at work and you have this kind of face, okay, I don't know, you have a coffee break, have your phone out or whatever, or in my case, you have a video or podcast project rendering like 4 minutes, you have a phone out, et cetera.
Immediately, yeah.
And because of the way I'm starting into this kind of whole media game or business or whatever.
Yeah.
I have this kind of anxiety to not get out the most of the time I have doing the thing I do now, which drove me to, okay, let's take more breaks on that. And even if you have nothing to do for work, I don't know, just have a book with you or pick up a newspaper or listen to a podcast episode or just
sit there with your thoughts even, which is so hard for people to do these days, just to sit there with your thoughts.
That's basically one reason while we're talking since 1 hour and 52 minutes, because we talked about how therapeutic this podcast situation can be for both of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly the way, or that's exactly the thing. Putting your phone away and sitting there with your thoughts and the thoughts of the guy in front of you and nothing else.
I mean, basically, besides looking up some of these questions, you know, we had the phones flipped down. I took my watch off. I put the face of the watch down on the table because the last episode, there was a moment where I was like, I'm not sure, like, how long have we spoken already? Did we talk enough? I was kind of like foggy headed and wasn't thinking so loose, you know. It was like kind of tightly wound, which is funny because I had just come from vacation, which I guess goes hand in hand. But I just, you know, I had it, and I was only thinking about time and where I should go and where I have to be. And this was like, you know, and this is an evening show, and I want to talk to you, and I want to like give our, you know, our small listener base, you know, like what they come for.
Yeah.
You know, which is our conversation. So I, put everything down, and it's so much better. It's so much better and so much more, you know, connected. Of course, wine helps. You know, we're almost down to the second bottle, and it's really nice. But yeah, man, I mean, whenever you get these chances to just put everything away, it helps so much. You know, I always find when I just accidentally leave my phone in the other room or in the apartment when I go to, let's say I go take the trash out.
Yeah.
Because of the way that our building is arranged and where the trash room is outside, the whole thing doesn't take too long, but I'd say it takes about 5 minutes, maybe between 5 and 7 minutes to get from where I am, depending how much trash I have, to outside, down the block, around the corner, in the gate, to the trash room and back. And sometimes I forget my phone, or sometimes I purposely choose to not bring it.
No.
And honestly, I end up either completely diving into a memory or a feeling or something so heavily, just my mind just dives into it, and I can almost kind of daydream or just like soak into something. Maybe I have a problem I'm trying to solve and it's a good chance for me to just think about it. Or a melody, like a song melody comes up. Maybe I just think of something like, taking out the trash can, put it in the can. And it's like, it's funny to me also, but sometimes great little melodies from absolutely nowhere just show up. And when I think to myself,
it could be the smallest lick or
something. The smallest little lick, and it just comes up. And I think the more that I fulfill every moment of my day with sound, you know, like watching a television show, pausing it, putting in a podcast to take the trash out, or a Spotify, coming back, taking out the headphones to press play on what I'm watching, I'm sustaining and entertaining my mind consistently, where it never has to work. It's, you know, it's like an engine that I'm. It's like an engine that would normally be running, but I'm choosing to put the car in neutral and push it because it's easier. I'm choosing to like watch something, listen to something, call somebody, whatever, like, or even, well, no, calling is even better, but just I'm choosing to entertain it and make it easier for my head to just sit there on top of my shoulders instead of like using the engine that was given to me.
Yeah.
And I always think about when I was, you know, between like 15 and 19, of course, you know, phones and video games and stuff existed and they were getting more popular, but I still had such an avid, strong, active imagination because I was growing up with it. I wasn't used to it yet. And now here we are 10 years later, and it's such a huge priority of my life that even now I know when I leave here, I'm going to shut the door to your apartment. And by the time I get it, one or two flights down the stairs, I'm going to pop in the headphones.
Sure.
You know, and I'm going to finish this podcast of Marc Maron. He's interviewing this great actor, Billy Crudup. And I'm going to finish that episode until I get to the train. And then maybe I'm going to put on, you know, like the new album or something to think about notes or whatever, because I'm going to meet with Tim soon. And I'm going to be listening and entertaining my head until I get to my front door. And that will be the moment where I know that Ify's asleep and I'm going to put everything down and just brush my teeth and go to bed. But I, you know, if it was earlier in the day, let's say that we were recording this at like 6 o'clock, then I know that I would do the podcast and then we'd go home and then we would talk for a little while and then we'd probably watch a movie. And then if I had to, you know, for example, like take the trash out, then I would, you know, look at TikTok or put a podcast in on the way out. So I'm overstimulating everything and it's not letting my brain work. And I think so many people do that. It's weird. Sure. It's a really crazy, really crazy scenario. I do think that long track to get to this question. Right. It's funny because probably you guys are like, that was a great thing. Why go back to Would You Rather? But the whole point was to set up a Would You Rather.
Yeah.
A 20-minute prologue to this question. Would you rather have whatever you're thinking appear above your head for everyone to see, or have absolutely everything you do live streamed for everyone to see? There's a great book called The Circle, which this reminds me of. I don't know if you ever read that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did you read it in English or German?
I guess I read it in German, actually.
Still, I'm not sure how it was translated, but it's such a good book.
First one. So,
you'd rather have whatever you're thinking appear above your head for everyone to see.
Yeah.
I guess that's safer, right? Because you're only kind of
the thing is, every time I have this first guess where I'm like, yeah, sure, it's that way. And then as soon as you don't even have to say your first sentence.
Right.
And I'm already overthinking.
Yeah, that's not an easy one, I think, because imagine, you know, you don't always have control over your immediate thought.
So I think I have to switch again, having the things I do live streamed. Totally.
I think that's the better option because then you choose what you do.
Yeah.
And when you think, you can't choose what you think, actually.
And you got to say, both things are super exhausting.
Yeah.
But for me, I know I have way more control about what I do. And basically, it's part of my job to do things that are streamed.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be easier with that. And to kind of... It still would suck, obviously.
Yeah.
So this is a good one. Yeah. This is a good one in terms of you don't want either of both options. But I think that one, to have everything streamed. I think it would also drive me crazy.
It'd be like The Circle.
But I think I could still handle it longer than the other thing. So everything that comes to my mind being shown to everyone.
Yeah.
Because I think for a longer time I could handle it like being on the air, not 1 hour a day, but 24. So for me, it's a logical step in between I can control.
Yeah, it'd be like being on the Truman Show but knowing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it would make things hard for anything sexual or romantic, for sure.
Yeah, but I think you'd still get along, or in my case, I would still get along easier with that than
having your thoughts.
With what I think.
Oh, man, that'd be so hard. I think that would be the worst because
action have way less room for misinterpretation,
right,
than thoughts.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not only specifically about thoughts, sexual actions, but in general. But
thoughts have to grow and develop. Thoughts have thoughts start naive. They start young and they start... A lot of thoughts start blind and mostly based off instinct.
Yeah.
So you have a thought and then you can take the time to decipher and criticize your own thought, and you can educate your thought, and you can come to a brand new thought from 0 to 100.
Exactly.
Like a completely different range of things to a new thought. But if you make an impression with someone and your first thought is something like completely naive or wrong or off base, then...
And it happens to me a lot, to be honest.
It happens to everyone. And imagine that you're making a first impression with somebody and your first thought is... Of course, you know, first impressions, you look at, I don't know, facial expression or what their tone is or what they're wearing or where you are.
Dude, I would totally lose in that game.
Oh, man, it would be a nightmare.
And but yeah, you could totally break it down to, okay, would you rather show the beginning of a process, which means showing all of your thoughts, versus the end of a process? Because actions are in mostly
the end of
in any case the process must be might be shorter or longer, whatever,
right?
But actions are the end of a process of thinking or instincts.
or whatever. But it's always the end of the process. Versus a thought, mostly, is the beginning of a process, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And so I think it's easier to show the end of a process because things are already determined.
Determined, you mean?
Determined, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Rather than, showing something that leaves so much room for interpretation.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The action is often not as easy to misunderstand as a thought you have based off of very limited information.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I would choose that. I think I would choose to live stream as well. Yeah. Man, I think that might be a really cool note to end on. I'm pretty tired. Although I could talk for hours, but I think I'm actually just getting really sleepy now. But I loved this episode, man.
Same, buddy.
So much fun to talk and like talk for real and get in depth on some cool thoughts. And I really hope you guys liked it too. And any last thoughts?
No.
Sounds good to
me. I think I've shared all... to get back to that point, I think I shared all of my thoughts within the last 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 20 seconds.
You know, and I think for us to be
with
here...
With everybody, by the way. Yeah. Possibly. And I think, possibly everybody.
I think for us to be here completely naked, I think it was a pretty cool conversation to have. We didn't even talk about each other's bodies, and I think that's pretty progressive. You know? Hey. Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, please go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to our show. Give us a good rate, review, or comment, or share it online, or even just tell a friend face to face, because that goes such a long way. Thank you so much.
And if you want to reach out to us, connect with us on our Instagram channel run by Jordan Prince himself. DM at artsy fartsy immigrants, or if you're more of a traditional guy, send an email to podcast@m945.de. Thank you for listening.
Bye bye.
Look out, baby, the saints are coming through, and it's all over now.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.